Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the living God from whom all blessings flow. Tonight's another night that we just say hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Because God has been so good to us once again. Well, we can be on the radio once again. You know, I'm thanking God for everything God has done for me and how God has loved me and kept me. And above all, I thank him one time, one more time. Hallelujah. Praise the living God. Amen. Thank him. Are you ready to be broadcast?
Yes, we are.
Okay, go right ahead.
Hi, my name is Belinda, and I'm speaking on behalf of the Lord himself about these people. While I was sitting yesterday, the Lord was speaking in my ears about how he's not pleased with the way his bride and people have been treating him. His wife called the church because he said, "Thy maker is thy husband." And this came in my spirit. My lover told me to ask his bride, "What happened? Did I not treat you right? Did I not spoil you and do everything you asked me to do for you? It's right for you? Did I not pay the bills and supplied all of your needs? I even gave you most of your wants. Why did you commit adultery on me? I even took care of your children, and they're not mine. I even put them on the right path. You took advantage of my kind heart and strayed from me for something or someone you thought were better than me, and that could please you better than I could. Now look at you. You're a hot mess. The grass is never greener on the other side. Now you're not even fit for my kingdom as my queen anymore," said the Lord. The church is in turmoil. It's in turmoil. The church is ignorant. We always expect things from God. We want this, we want that. I'm asking him for a husband. I'm asking him for a house. I'm asking him for a new car. But how do you know those things won't give us problems? We get the husband. Would he be a drug addict or an alcoholic? We've been asking the Lord for years. I've been asking the Lord for years because I've been fasting and praying. A lot of times we fast and we pray, but it's not in the will of God. It's our desire, our love for heart, and our motives are wrong at times. And then again, our motives are right because we also ask for asking for help. I remember when I asked for a husband, and I got a husband. But I wish God could have taken a husband back, and he did. And be careful what you ask for, because you just might get it. And it'll put you through hell. We as a people, the church, God's people, we are, as I said before, we're in turmoil. The pastor's not preaching the truth. He's not even preaching in the spirit. I was reading Isaiah 56, where he talked about the pastor. And I'm going to read that passage to you.
Okay.
And it says, "Come all you beasts of the field. Come and devour all you beasts of the forest. Israel's watchmen are blind. They all lack knowledge. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark. They lie around and dream. They love to sleep. They're all dogs with mighty appetites. They never have enough. They are shepherds who lack understanding. They are all turned to their own way. They seek their own gain. Come, each one cries. Let me get wine. Let us drink and let us drink. I will fill a beer. And tomorrow we will be today, like today, or even far better. And this is what they're doing to our people. The righteous perish, and no one takes it to heart. For the vow are taken away, and no one understands. That the righteous are taken away to be spared from evil. Those who walk uprightly enter into peace. They find rest as they lie in death. The offspring of adulterers and prostitutes. Who are you mocking? At whom do you sneer and stick out your tongue? Are you not a brood of rebels, the offspring of liars? You burn with lust among the oaks, and under every spreading tree, you sacrifice your children in ravines and under the overhanging crags. What he meant about every spreading tree, and the Bible said, don't plant a tree and every grove, don't, you know, it's going from this church to that church because if they're here to keep the body sick, you don't know what it'll be contaminated with. You don't know what the pastor's doing behind closed doors. I remember this one church I went to, the pastor was preaching, he preached a really good message. But when he was leaving out, I remember he was married, but he was separated. But his girlfriend was waiting on him after church. And it disgusted me. It disgusted me. I didn't want to go back. Like I said, the Bible said, don't plant a tree and let it grow. Because you don't know what you might pick up when you eat from that tree. But you're here to sick, the whole body sick. If you have the flu or pneumonia, and you have a head cold, the whole body starts aching. You have to hear it and sick, the whole body. So this is for God's people. Know what God is speaking when he speaks to his people. We have committed adultery. We left him because we thought the grass was green on the other side. But then we have to come back and realize it wasn't. And sometimes it could be too late. I had a husband and an ex-husband living with me in November. It disgusted me so bad that I stayed in my room and I cried. Only time I let one or the other come into the room is when I needed something. I needed them to pass me something. Because I'm in a wheelchair. I had a car accident where I hit a tree. And I was thrown over the steering wheel through the windshield 70 miles an hour. So, you know, it was a blessing because he did say in 46 and 10. At Psalms 46 and 10, be still and know that I am the Lord. I would have never gained the knowledge, the seven spirits of God, unless I had sat down. He had to do this for me, and it was a blessing, because I gained more knowledge and insight of what Yah really requires. And I call him by his true name, and some of us don't even know his true name, which is Yah, Yahweh, and his son, Yahushua. I urge God's people, giving their word for yourself, stop going to this church and that every church, and giving their word for yourself. The Bible also says, you know, that there's churches on every corner. It says in Ezekiel 16:24 that thou hast also built unto thee an intimate place and hast made thee an high place in every street. Thou hast built thy high places. And this is Ezekiel 16:25. Thou hast built the high places at every head of the way and hast made the beauty to be abhorred and hast opened thy feet to every one that passed by. And multiply thy whoredoms. That means we let days and lessons, and we're not supposed to really speak no days and lessons now because there's some type of restriction. But my name is Glenda. If they want to sue me, they can't get nothing but a bunch of children from me. Because, nigga, I came in this world, nigga, I shall go. But I'm going to speak the truth. You can't be a minister in the church and you see sin and you condone sin. And all you doing is motivating people. Oh, just live today and be kind to everyone when everyone ain't for you. You know, this world is down to the dog. It's down to the dog. They at home. And there's no rebuilding of the walls because it's spoken up in Revelation. In the book of Revelation, there were churches where they compromised with the Balaam spirit and the Jezebel spirit. They compromised with the world. You don't even know what gospel is anymore. It all sounds secular. You know, Isaiah 42:22 says, "But this is a people robbed and poor. They are all of them snared in holes, and they are hidden in prison houses. They are for a prey, and none deliver, for a fall, and none death restore." Don't you know that there are 11,000 inmates in Cook County Jail, and 75% of the black men is up the black men. The Bible says we are a byword and a father. We the chicken tender. We're sagging pants. Ain't nobody, not many people trying to tell their children what put your pants up. No, it's terrible. You know, anything in the sanctuary, the Bible says we open our legs to anybody. And we do. We let the gays have positions on the piano. They the lessons in the church. They sitting side by side. Get out of my church and go get delivered before you come in here and contaminate my people. We come because it is a hospital, but we're not healing nobody. Not even healing ourselves. And I'm talking about the pastor, the minister, the evangelist, the prophet, the ones that give themselves a name. Oh, I'm advantage this. I'm a prophet of this. We all go to heaven and hell. There's no name. There's no title. We need to really wake up. You know, like I said before, Cook County Jail in Chicago, Illinois. Population 11,000 inmates. Over 75% of them are black. Hebrew women, which is black women, makes up the majority of women in prisons and jails. Black children are being tried as adults and sent to juvenile prison. We are the most religious people, and I'm getting on our people, we're the most religious people. The Bible says that the Hebrews, Israel, have a zeal for the Most High, but not according to knowledge. We're ignorant when it comes to what God really requires. He wants us to teach him, to know him in a spiritual way. Not in a carnal way. You get up there, you shout. What are you shouting about? What you did last week? I mean, my mama used to go to church. My mama used to be shouting in church. You're on the usher board. If one man leaves out, another man's coming in. I don't see how God can do it. There's no way I can stay in that. I remember my mom was eating shaw and my brother was a Mason, and all that is satanic. All that's really Illuminati and Freemason, really, you know, making it seem like, putting like a more of a people of prestige, Masons, when it's not, they're nothing but hellbound. Because it's all satanic, we do satanic rituals. They even got the owls on the shelf now. And, you know, the owls are used in most of the cult sacrifices. you got an owl in your house, you got to be careful. You wonder why your children acting crazy, your money has gotten low, and this and that happening to you. And the pastor tells you, we Hebrews, the black race. I'm going to read this thing, I want you to really think about it. Deuteronomy 28, it says, and y'all shall bring thee into Egypt again with ship, by the way, whereof I spake unto thee. Y'all shall see it no more again, and there ye shall be sold unto your enemy for bondmen and bondwomen. And no man shall buy you. That means redemption. You know, there was no remission of sin without the shedding of the blood. And in order to be redeemed, you have to shed blood. But I do know that when Joshua, Jesus, was crucified, his body was only able to be redeemed by a cousin. And Mary's cousin was Joseph of Arimathea. He bought the body of Jesus. So, back in the slavery days, we couldn't buy each other back because we all was in captivity. You know, the Bible saying in Isaiah 51:20, thy sons have fainted. They lie at the head of all the streets as a wild bull in a net. They are full of the fury of Yah and the rebuke of your Almighty. And when it says, thy sons have fainted, they have no clue what's going on. They're all selling dope on the street corner. All got their pants sagging. All got some gold in their mouth. You know, some of the mothers on crack, but they can't tell them nothing. This world, we all in that place, to be honest. Oh, I'm blessed and highly favored. We cursed as a nation. We got people off. From 1619 that we brought here on slave ships to 2019, that's when the curse will be over with. Yeah, we were the only race that was hated by all the other races. We saw Negro, nigger, coon, black, spade, horse, monkey, bitch. And look, you know, we see the white boys on the corner with their pants sagging, getting trapped on the street. I don't want to be black. I say Hebrew. Let's say Hebrew. We are in turmoil as a nation. And we got all these churches on every corner and ain't nobody getting delivered. The world is getting worse. It's bad. It's bad. The Bible says Deuteronomy 26:15. Cursed shall thou be in the city and cursed shall thou be in the field. We was the only people, the only race that was not able to stand against the Jews that they came, you know, Nazis, or all the other groups. Like I said, we was hated by every way. Why? Because the problem was always coming up with we people of color always have defiled God, Yah's sanctuary. From the time we left Egypt until now. And the Bible says, Deuteronomy 28:25, Yah shall be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. Deuteronomy 28:37, and thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all the nations, whether ye shall be led. So, you know, that we're an astonishment. Y'all always see two females pulling hair, pulling weave out of hair. You always see them, like I say, you see all these brothers, young men on the corner, bagging pants, when that's a jailhouse mentality thing. And it has a spirit on it. Because everything has a spirit on it. You got more men that come out of closet right now. They're saying that they bisexual. They're saying they're gay. Like, especially athletes. And, you know, Senator John Edwards said on a talk show, pretty soon there's not going to be an African American population. They're all going to be dead or in prison. But we go to church where we're blind. P.D. Jakes got his big church. But he do give good revelation. And I'm going to be honest, I don't care. I don't care. Because the Bible says don't be afraid of their faith. Don't be dismayed of their faces. When he told Jeremiah, go before the people. He told Ezekiel. In Ezekiel 3, and I'm going to tell you what he said. Let me go to the book of Ezekiel. And I'm finished because I'm disgusted in the churches. I really don't want to go to church anymore, but I want to sit at home and know him for myself. About 2 months ago, all my church friends was all calling me and everything. Well, I remember one day I let my provider go out of town. And all of a sudden, the provider they send, she didn't show up that Friday night. I called all my Christian friends over to come help me. I can't come. Oh, girl, I got to do this. Don't you know nobody came to help me but this gay guy? A friend of mine? All my church people, all the Christian people, all the people in the church. Oh, girl, I'm sorry. I can't get over it. I got my grandbaby. I got this and that. They all let me down. I stayed in my chair for 3 days. And I cried like a baby. The pastor said, oh, I'm sorry. I got this. I got to do. I stayed in my chair for 3 days until my provider, which is my friend, he's James, came to help me. And he said, well, that was disgusting. But we have to church people now. And they say, hey, baby, I would have got my baby, and I would have came over there and helped my sister. Ezekiel said, at the end of the 7 days, the word of the Lord came to me. Gentlemen, I have made the watchmen for the people of Israel. So hear the word I speak and give them warning from me. When I say to a wicked person, you will surely die, and you do not warn them or speak out to dissuade them from their evil ways in order to save their life, that wicked person will die for their sin. And I will hold you accountable for their blood. I'm not afraid to tell you that you're wrong or that you're in wickedness. Come on down, Joel Osteen, motivating people. And y'all kind of gazing and less than sitting in his congregation. But if you do warn the wicked person and they do not turn from their wickedness or from their evil ways, they would have died for their sin, but you would have saved yourself. Again, when a righteous person turns from their righteousness and does evil, and I put a stumbling block before them, let me turn the page, they will die. Since you did not warn them, they would die for their sin. The righteous thing that person did will not be remembered, and I will hold you accountable for their blood. But if you do warn the righteous person not to sin, and they do not sin, they will surely live because they took warning, and you will have saved yourself. You see people doing this and doing that. You didn't stop a sister. You think it's right? The Bible says, don't worry about what can kill the body. Worry about what can kill the body and soul. If you see something's not right in the second verse, get out of my church and go get delivered. No, you cannot play the piano. Well, that's why God destroyed the whole nation. Go get delivered. Go cry to God. But repent with a repentful heart. God is tired of us playing churches. There's a church on every corner and ain't nobody getting delivered. Things are getting worse. Why is they can go to the book of Revelation? That's for the churches. Strictly for the churches. Strictly for the churches. There's the churches that got these helicopters. No, there's one pastor I know wrote everybody, told him to send a donation for one of his propellers for his helicopter. That is so disgusting. But he passed downtown and see people homeless. I'm in a wheelchair. I'm taking care of two teenagers, twins. And I'm bringing people in my home to help them to feed them. And I barely got enough money for myself. I pay $1,000 for my rent. I only get $600 for disability, but God makes a way, and he does rain down his manna for me. Did I pay my tithe? The Bible said, don't give what's holy to the dogs, and don't feed your pearls to swine. You don't know what these cops are doing with our money. Again, sometimes we do see what they're doing with the money. But it really ain't for us to really judge on that part, to let God deal with them. But still, if you go to Amos 4 and 4, you go to 26 and 12, it takes every 3 years you get your tithe. And don't forget about the Levites, the widows, the fathers, the one without. he passed on somebody homeless. Oh, he's gonna go buy crack with it or whatever. Don't you worry about what he buy with it. You give up that money, you keep it out there. I've been doing it for years. I've been doing it for years. I'm in a wheelchair now. I help more people to help me. The ones out there in the world help me quicker than the ones in the church. Can't get a church to come over here and do nothing for me. I have a mother that's married to a preacher. I've been in this wheelchair for 14 years. I helped her 2 months ago. And she's supposed to pay me back. Won't even answer her phone. But she married to a minister. I'm hurt. I'm disgusted. I'm sick of the church pick. I'm sick of them. Sick of people paying church. There ain't no church no more. It's a franchise, a business now. I remember this gay guy said, oh, girl, I'm going to be the first lady. He had messed around with the pastor. It's painful. It's very painful. It's very painful. We want to be like Jesus. How are you going to be like Jesus when you was wounded by the transgression? You going to die for your sister and brother? You was bruised for our iniquity. And a chastisement of his pieces of our pieces upon him. This man was beaten beyond recognition for us. And I ain't dying for none of y'all. Because ain't none of y'all would serve me anyway. If I was him. I'm going to read this. I read this today. It's painful. It's all painful. It says, by oppression and judgment, he was taken away. Let me start over. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us have turned to our own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearer is silent. So he cannot open his mouth by oppression and judgment. He was taken away. Yet who of his generation protested? He was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people, he was punished. I'm not dying for none of y'all. Because I know y'all not. You ain't going to do nothing for me. You're not going to die for me. You're going to come over here and give me a mere morsel. Okay, he was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many. You know, it's awful. I mean, it's really awful that our Lord, our Father, did this for us. And yet, half of us still don't want to serve half of us. I don't even believe in it.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
That's all I have to say.
Well, today we've been listening to our dear beloved Glenda. Glenda has a lot of things to say to us tonight, and she has said what God has put it on her heart. I ask all of you that are out there listening to believe what God can do for you. If Glenda would just hang on in there, bring someone else. Just hang in there. Don't get off the line, Glenda. Amen. Because the God we serve is an awesome God, and he knows more than all of us know. And I say this, I thank God. Hello there. Sonia?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm blessed. How you doing?
Blessed as well.
Well, praise the living God.
Thank you.
I know you got a word to give us.
Yeah, I do. I thank God for it, too. God is good to us. Yeah. We just having, we thank God tonight because he's an awesome God, and we want to give him the praise. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for this opportunity to share your word, oh God. Father, we give you the glory. And it's in Jesus' name we pray and we say amen. Amen. We're looking for more of God. We're looking for him to use us according to his glory. Amen.
Amen.
Turn in tonight to John chapter 13, verse 34. John chapter 13, 34. Wanted to hit this scripture to give us a little background of what we'll be going over tonight. And it says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. And I'll read verse 35. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Ask you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And I'm going to read from verse 4, where I started 1 through 8. And it says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I'm become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profits me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoice in the truth, bearing all things, believing all things, hoping all things, endureth all things. Charity never fail, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. It's looking at this love, the way God loves. You know, this when Paul wrote about charity, he's writing about God's high level, the highest level of love, agape love. And, you know, he just really just pulled these 15 characteristics of agape love out, and agape describes the highest love. This charity is agape. This is the Greek word for it. It describes the highest level of love in the world, which is also the kind of love God expects every believer to demonstrate in our life. And as you look at the first few verses of this, this talks about a lot of things that believers are doing. Speaking with tongues of angels and having the gift of prophecy, understanding mysteries, knowledge, and having faith that moves mountains. And people, you know, believers that are giving everything they have to feed the poor and giving their body to be burned. You know, they sacrificing themselves to be burned. But if they don't love, all that means nothing. Love is a key thing.
That's it.
With God, because God is love. And there's no way that we're going to be able to dwell in God or God dwell in us if we don't have this love. That's a principal thing with God, because that's what God is. And when we display this, we are displaying God. The word describes a love, agape describes a love so different and complete from the world, what the world offers. The world cannot get anything close to this. And it talks about this love in the New Testament. You know, the New Testament describes God's love, and it's a love that should flow out of the heart of every believer. Agape is a divine love that gives and gives and gives and gives and gives, even if it's never responded to or thanked or acknowledged. You know, this is unheard of in the world. You know, you just don't act like that, not by the world standards. This love does not look for its own advantage. And it doesn't base a response of how somebody's acting or reacting to you. Love is not, it is a decision to keep on loving regardless of what the recipient's response or their lack of response is. Because agape is such a love, it's unconditional love. It's the highest level of love. It is the highest, most noblest, purest form of love that exists. And I guess we have to ask ourselves tonight, are we walking in this kind of high-level love? Because this defines who we are. We either going to do it God's way or we going to do it our way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it defines who we are, because God is love. And we just went over what all, you know, what believers get caught up in, doing a lot of stuff, but not doing the principal things. And Jesus said, the commandment I give you, that you love. He didn't say that you go out prophecy, you do this, you do that. No, he said love. That was his commandment, and that is who God is. So we can't miss this. We can't put this on the back burner. This is something that we have to look at ourselves tonight on. And whether if I'm speaking to unbelievers out there, you know, you can receive this kind of love tonight. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. This kind of love, you can't find it in the world. And this is the type of love that we all long for, and that as believers, if we will start dispensing this love, I think we will see greater works done in us, and it will be done through God, through the right way, and that he will be able to get his glory from that love, because that's the way they're supposed to know us, by the love that we have one for another and how we operate in love. And to the unbeliever out there, this is the kind of love that you're looking for, that you're longing for. This is what is missing in your life. And God has it for you tonight. And all you have to do is receive him as your Lord and Savior. So, well, we want to speak to everybody tonight as we're going through this. So as we go through this, we need to look at, you know, as God reveals to us through this word, we need to look at ourselves. We need to take a look in the mirror. First of all, it talks about charity suffers long. And when it talks about suffers long, it's a patient restraint of anger, long-suffering, forbearance, patience. The example that the author was given is that it's like a candle with a long wick. Because the wick is so long, it is prepared to burn for a long time. It is ready to forbear and patiently wait until a certain person finally comes around, that makes progress, changes, or hears what you're trying to communicate or teach. This is a picture of a person whose feelings for someone else are so passionate that he doesn't easily give up or bow out. Instead, he keeps on going and going and going and going, giving and giving and giving, even though the other person doesn't quickly respond to him. Love patiently and passionately bears with others for as long as patience is needed. You don't just give up and throw in the towel and say, well, I'm tired of all this. No, that's not what it is. Love gives and it goes the distance. This means agape love doesn't throw in the towel and quit. And in fact, the harder the fight and the longer the struggle, the more committed agape love becomes. You know, it just digs in. It doesn't turn around and cave in and quit. It digs in and it goes for the long haul. Like the candle with an endless wick, it just keeps burning and burning and burning, for it never knows how to quit.
Okay.
Amen? And that's the kind of people I need around me. I need some saints that don't know how to quit, because sometimes you might want to throw the towel in on me. This, of course, is contrary to human nature, which says I'm sick of all this and I'm tired of waiting and believing. You know, we've seen that a lot of times where folks just, you know, they just quit on us. And that's not what God, the love of God, the agape love stands for. This love never gives up. You know, this love never caves in, it never quits, and it never gets tired of it. And I think we have to ask ourselves tonight, are we in a relationship that tests our patience? Because if we are, and if we are tempted to throw in the towel and throw up our arms, we need a dose of this agape love to be released in us. And you know, God has a response and he has a solution to every issue we go through. According to Romans 5:5, if you want to turn there with me, Romans 5:5, that says that the love of God has already been shed abroad in our hearts. That's Romans 5:5. And when we get this feeling where we want to throw up our hands, we don't have to depend on our own strength, praise God. We've got some supernatural help here. The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, you know, all we have to do is cry out to the Holy Spirit, and this means we don't have to come up with this supernatural love by ourselves. The word shed abroad is from the Greek word ekio, which means the pouring forth or discharge or spilling out of something that is dispersed in abundance. In other words, God has magnificently bestowed on us sufficient love to be long-suffering in any relationship or situation. So what happens is all we have to do is, you know, really cry out to God when we get to these points of frustration. God's love has literally been poured forth, dispensed, and shed abroad in our hearts. So when we ask the Holy Spirit to help us, which he is a helper, he will release this divine love to flow forth from within us and cause us to be supernaturally long-suffering, where we can go the long haul. Because, you know, like I said earlier, this human nature that we have, we're throwing the towel in a minute. And the examples that we've seen and how we've been conditioned and the learned behavior we've had, we've seen it. Just throw in the towel. You know, enough is enough. But this is not what God called us to.
Amen.
We do have help. We do have help. When we cry to the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit will kick in and release that divine love that's been shed abroad in our hearts and cause us to be supernaturally long-suffering toward the person who has frustrated us so much. It's just a fact that human nature is short-tempered and intolerant. But agape is slow to anger, slow to wrath, and doesn't know how to quit. Praise God. It supernaturally becomes stronger and more committed the longer it takes to get through the heart to the heart of the one who is love. Now, that's real love right there. This is a miracle. It's a miraculous love. Agape is a miraculous love, a love that transforms and changes people's lives. And that's why it's so urgent for us to get in this. And we all know where we are tonight. And you know what the Bible says to us, if we're not operating in this kind of love, if we're not, you know, God is love. And if we're not in this, we're not dwelling in God and him not in us. And I'm going to get to that scripture. Just going on here. Paul tells us that the kind of that love is kind. The word kind is the Greek word Christimoa, which means
Amen.
To be adaptable or compliant to the needs of others. When agape is working in your life, you don't demand that others be like you. Instead, agape makes you want to bend over backwards to become what others need you to be for them. Thus, the word kind portrays a willingness to serve and to change in order to meet the needs of others. This is completely opposite of selfishness and self-centeredness. So when Paul writes that love is kind, an expanded interpretation of the phrase would mean love doesn't demand others to be like itself. Rather, it is focused on the needs of others, as it bends over backwards to become what others need it to be. You know, Jesus was our perfect example of that. He was our perfect example of that. As we read through the Gospels, to look how Jesus interacted with everyone we see come in contact with Jesus and how he interacted with them. It was very kind. The way he became everything that each person needed from him. Just like the woman with the issue of blood, when she touched the hem of his garment, she knew she would be made whole. He was whatever she needed him to be. When he met Zacchaeus, he didn't chastise him. He called him down from out the tree. You know, he sat with the sinners. You know, he became everything that they needed him to be in order for their lives to be changed. You know, sometimes we have to go sit with people in different capacities. You know, if we sit up and say, you know, I'm too good to be going down there, getting on my knee in front of the man, sitting on the floor, you know, sitting on the corner, begging for money. I'm too good to, you know, when the Holy Ghost tug your heart to do something. I can't do that. I got my suit on or something like that. No, we got to become what we need to become in order to minister this gospel, to be used. Look how Stephen and Philip were. You know, they were used, and Jesus, you know, was able to use one with the Ethiopian eunuch and then transport him to another location to preach the gospel. And he was, you know, we've got to be available for this gospel, you know, available for love to flow through us. You know, we can put up walls and things and not be available or not be approachable or not allow the Holy Spirit to move through us. So it's something for us to look at tonight, where we are. Are we available to allow love to be used by love and to allow love to flow through us tonight? Because when love is flowing through us, it's going to touch everybody you come in contact with, and you're going to change worlds. You're going to change the one around you and everybody you come in contact with. If this is what, and this is what Paul means by love is kind, we must look into the mirror and ask ourselves, do I become what others need me to be, or do I demand that others be like me? Real agape love doesn't think of itself first. Instead, it always reaches out, thinking and focusing primarily on the needs of others. The person walking in agape love adapts to those around him in order to touch them, help them, impact them in a meaningful way. And see, that's what's going to change folks right there. That's what's going to change them. And Jesus told us, they're going to know you by the love you have one for another. And he charged us with the commandment to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Paul tells us that charity, agape love, envieth not, as we continue. The word envy is the Greek word zealous, which portrays a person who is radically consumed with his own desires and plans.
Mm-hmm.
This is a person so bent on getting his way that he is willing to sacrifice anything or anyone to get it. You might describe this person as being ambitious or self-centered. He's so consumed with himself that he doesn't ever think of the needs or desires of others. His own plans are permanent in his mind, and everyone else comes after him. Love is not ambitious. Love is not self-centered, and it's not so consumed with itself that it never thinks of the needs or desires that others possess. Real agape love doesn't think of itself first, but is always looking outward, thinking of the other person rather than itself. So examine your relationships at home, at church, and at work, and ask yourself, am I committed to seeing others blessed and successful, or am I committed to my own cause? If you're walking in agape love, your greatest concern is others. Amen?
Amen.
Love passionately bears with others for as long as patience is needed. Love doesn't demand others to be like itself, but is so focused on the needs of others that it bends over backwards to become what others need it to be. Love is not ambitious, self-centered, or so consumed with itself that it never thinks of the needs or desires that others possess. Love is patient, love is kind, and love is not envious. I got a few questions for us tonight. Do you demonstrate the characteristic of divine love in your life? It's for us to think about. And only you can answer that for you. But you, between you and God, are you passionately patient with others? Do you bend over backwards to be what other people need you to be? Are you more focused on people around you than yourself?
Praise God.
Now, can we ask God to help us change and make us like Jesus? You know, that's the thing that we are at right now, is asking God to help us change and make us like Jesus.
Amen.
Let's pray. Lord, we ask you to open our hearts so agape love can flow from within us. We allow ourselves to get dogged up with our own self-interest far too often. We need to focus more on the need of others than ourselves. We realize the only way to become selfless is to yield to the Holy Spirit so he can do a deep work in our life. Father, we just thank you right now. We welcome the presence of your Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, we are asking you to do whatever necessary to teach, to lead to us in a daily walk in this high level of agape love of God. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Well, I want to tell you tonight, what's those two questions you asked?
The four questions I asked.
The four questions.
Number one, do you demonstrate the character of divine love in your life? Number two, are you passionately patient with others?
Can anyone hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I thought I was on mute.
No.
Can I answer that question, please?
Yes,
May
go
I say
ahead.
Something from it? Well, I take in people. I'm in a wheelchair. I take in people. There was a girl that came to me, a white girl. I don't discriminate, and I'm not prejudiced. Cause like I said, we all created equal, I believe. But I left this. This girl came to me. She had no food, and I gave her my card because I knew her. I knew her well. So I told her to get $20 off the card. She got $100-something off. Then I let her come over because I know her baby didn't have any clean clothes. I let her wash her baby clothes. When I let her wash the baby clothes, she used all the washing powder. It's a big thing of washing powder. So then a week ago, I saw a young man in Walmart wandering around. And I saw him the day before. My daughter and I was walking to Subway. And I said, my daughter's name is Matias. The Holy Spirit, I saw the man. I said, something about this young man. So when I saw him, I started ministering to him. 2 days later, I saw him in Walmart. I said, what are you doing in here? He had a card in his hand. I said, you're going to steal that card. So I laughed. He said, yeah, and I laughed. And so I said, what are you drinking? He said, it's all I have. I said, are you homeless? He said, yeah. I said, have you eaten anything? He said, no. I said, come over to McDonald's and order you something. When he ordered him something, I said, I told him to order him a drink because he was going to go home with me. I let him come home. I asked him, have you eaten? I let him come home, and he ate. So all of a sudden, I found out the young man's on crack. I forgave him, let him come back in. Then I had a husband and an ex-husband that was living with me. I let them come and stay with me, never touched them, because me, not eating for 2 weeks out of a month, I try to stay celibate. And I give my life over to Christ. I don't deal with men. I have kids that live with me. And I had an ex-husband and a husband. I was helping. I was paying my ex-husband's cell phone bill, and I was helping his girlfriend also because she was pregnant. So next thing I know, the husband, I found that he was on crack. Having his feelings, I'm still helping him. And all of a sudden, like I said, 2 weeks ago, the young man came. The young man was eating more than my kids was eating. He ate up all my kids' food. So I went and bought some more food. He did it again. I told the young man, you got to get a job. I can't keep doing this. Found out the young man left, went to be crack. So I know I couldn't let him back in my house. I'm in a wheelchair. I'm helping so many people. But when I called the church to come help me, they can't help me. Oh, sister, I don't want to get involved in that. All the disciples was murdered. The Lord say he wish he never made man. Because the heart is just wicked. And God repented he ever made man. So even in the end, at the book of Revelation, they reveal everything. They talk about how the churches need to straighten up. We can talk with our hopes on, we need God, this type of love. Love covers the multitude of sins. But there is no more love. Because the devil is the prince of this world. We can do this and do that, try to straighten everything out, try to be kept and save a person off the street that they come to stealing from you. Last week, I forgave my kids. I come home, my daughter stole both of my laptops. She was standing over the speaker. I said, where's my laptop? Oh, no. She stole both of my laptops.
Well, wait a minute. Were you making a point regarding what, my beautiful love?
I'm making a point to regard that, yeah, we can quote scriptures and all this and that, but there is no more love. The love is in us, but, yeah, we don't get tired of getting beat down, people stealing from us, and we still strong. I'm still bringing people in. My mom, not my mom, but my kids say, Mom, why are you always letting people come and stay with us? And they're eating up all our food. I said, well, the church is not doing, so I got to do it.
Well, excuse me. Wait a minute. Okay. Now, are you operating with a spirit of discernment?
Because yes, I am.
You keep going from one situation to the next situation, and everybody seems to be abusing you. Every situation you go through, everybody's abusing you.
Okay, let's start with the church. Then.
Hold on one second, because you've talked for a while, so let me come in, because we got to keep this thing, moving forward. God moves forward, and there may be other people here, and we need to minister to all of them.
Okay.
Now, just to, and I'm not trying to be rude either, but I know we got to keep moving forward. I think we got the issue here. Now, one thing about it is when you're dealing with a lot of people off the street, like you said, the old gentleman, you found out he was doing crack. Now, you have to deal with these situations head to head. You can't just let that stuff keep going on and just, you know, not doing anything. If you found out he was doing crack, he's got to be called on the carpet right then and there. Don't worry about what others are doing. You got to do what God called you to do. You the church.
I got rid of him.
You the only church some of them people see. Okay?
Yes,
so don't worry about the church. You doing what God called you to do. Don't look to your left or your right. You just look straight up to God and follow his direction. Follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Not the feeling that you have. I got to take my ex in. Ain't nobody told you to take your ex in. You got to follow God. And if God told you to take the ex in, then do it. But if you following some feeling you had before to take them in or because you're feeling sorry for them, that's not God. You have to follow the Spirit when you're dealing out with people out here in the world.
That's true. That's true.
Now,
because
when you found out the man was doing crack, what did you do?
Well, let me tell you this one. Well, when they both came, my ex husband was here, and my ex husband came to see the kids because he's from California, and my kids were living in California. He sent the kids down here to me. So when I sat and I started praying because my husband was here. Then all of a sudden the husband came to see the kids. We stayed there. And I said, Lord, why are you putting all this on me? The Lord said, because you got power. I have given you power and authority over the devil. And because of the way I was fasting to a yoke. So when my ex-husband didn't know that it was my assignment. Mm.
When my husband came, my husband got delivered.
But these people got delivered. But the church wouldn't even help them. But he sent them to me. Well, my ex-husband,
Go ahead. Go and talk, Sonia.
Okay. Well,
they just said, well, we're back to California. When we're back to California.
Hold on, Glenda.
Okay.
Go ahead.
You know, we were talking about love tonight, and your point was that love ain't enough. Is that what your point is?
Well, the people that he sent to me got delivered. That's what I'm trying to tell you. But where the church would be, I asked, will they please help me with them? Oh, no, sister. There's one pastor had a home. Oh, no, sister, I can't deal with all that. Okay.
Well, you know what? That just showed you. That was a good indication of where that particular person was. You can't blame that on the whole church, though, because we are the church. Me and you the church. And when we gather together, God is present with us. Me and you the church. Me and you and Dr. Hunter and whoever else on this land that believers that's walking in the word, we are the church. Not the building, not those people inside there. Everybody's at different levels. So we can't look at them. God is who we got to keep our focus on.
Exactly. Yeah. I was in a ministry with Juanita Bynum. Things I saw. But then still, you're right. And you're right. A lot of people, every church I went to, I've been all over the world almost. And I've been with so many ministries. And I've seen things.
Glenda.
It's the
May I say something to you?
Glenda,
may I say something? No, because I know you. One of the things I've been telling you, you have to give all you have to God. Let God take care of what's going on. You and I are both in a predicament. But what we have to do is keep looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. When you know people are coming your way, you got to stop them then. Not tomorrow, then. You got to
it's
say,
awful.
No, we can't
help. People coming my way. The church people.
No. Let me tell you with love. Do not allow the peace that God has given you be attacked by the enemy of yourself. You can become your own enemy. And becoming your own enemy, you see everybody that's not doing nothing. There are some people that are doing something. I have to see people as people that are trying to do what they have to do. The lesson was taught tonight. Both of y'all taught good lessons. But I will say this with love and kindness. The only way we're going to be able to overcome is we got to submit, commit, and allow the will of God to operate in our lives. We will not be able to walk. We're not going to be able to lay hands on the sick. We're not going to see them delivered because we still have grief and ignorance in our own heart. Until we let go, God can use us. He cannot use us. I'm telling you what I know, not what I heard. I'm writing up a letter right now to somebody to believe what God told me. And I was sharing with some people. I'm writing this letter. I was saying see, I was up that high order of a person that I thought I could tell God what to do. But no, you can't. See, God wants to use us. And I want God to use us. Not that we decide, we know. A lot of us know the word. Some of us study the word, pray the word, can send the word. But I said it to all of us tonight. We are the church. Without our voices, nobody's ever going to hear what we got to say. With our submissive to the Holy Spirit, it's no way, no how. I don't care how many demons try to come your way. You say you have the anointing. You got to stop those demons from coming your way. You got to stop them because if you don't, they want to take you out, and they will team up on you. But it's up to you.
Can I ask one question? One question to both of you. What do we do or what do we gain when we criticize others that don't do what they should be doing?
We don't get nothing. We get zero, zero, zero.
That's my point.
I would say that the church is going to fall away from the truth. There's
the bottom line. Let us
focus. We need these high hopes. There is no more love in the churches.
Wait a minute.
It's even spoken in the Bible.
Okay, that's your
opinion. There's no love.
You wouldn't
sit out there all night with a homeless person. There are things you wouldn't bring people in your home that's dirty and put them in your bathtub. And I know there's some things you won't do.
Wait a minute. One second. You don't know me.
You're right,
You don't know me, and you don't know what I have done. So you need to back up a little bit on that one, okay? And the thing about it is where is this attitude coming from you at? I mean, is this love you showing?
I guess wrong don't make a right.
You know, because how are you going to tell me what I have done? Hold up a minute, because I let you talk.
Right. Right.
Come on, Glenda. Come on, Glenda. Glenda, come on. Come on now, Glenda.
I quietly listen to you
this
talk.
This is spoken in the Bible, though.
Glenda, let her look it up.
When there is no love, read your Bible, ma'am.
Glenda, let her say a word. She has something to say. Go ahead.
So you got somebody on the line that's telling us this word is not true.
Read the book of Revelation.
All right. I don't agree with you, and you go ahead and finish it out.
Well, the one thing I'm going to say tonight, because this is not, I want to be this radio station and be like, see, everybody around the world listening to what's happening. And the enemy comes in and tries to destroy. I know that I know that we need to submit, commit, and come to God. And I try to tell everybody one thing. When you got agape, everything passes by. You don't worry about that. But if you know you got the power to stop the devil from attacking you, don't let him attack you. You got the authority. You got the wisdom. You got the authority. God has given us through his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I've given you the authority. And we don't have to go to, and I told somebody, I said, thing we got to stop doing is trying to put each other down. Putting each other down. We got to start picking up, helping up, and moving out. Helping up, moving out, moving out. That's what God wants. The Apostle Paul is the greatest one of the teachers. And Paul said, when he said he cried for his own brethren. He said, if I could give anything for them, because they had the right. They were the chosen one, and they refused to hear what God said. And the night we come talking about
this teaching is about how we are supposed to walk.
Yes.
Now, this lady is talking about there ain't no love. Now, so what are we supposed to do on this radio station? You want to have her opinion, or you want to have the Word of God going on here?
Want the Word of God, the Word of God.
So that is the bottom line right there. It's telling us what we are to do as children of God. Now, you got to make up your mind what you're going to do. You either going to go with your opinions, what you see the church doing today, the one that's closest to you that you see, or you going to go with the Word of God. Hear it. Make up your mind. There's nothing to argue about. If you got an argument about what I said came out the Word of God. Now, you got an argument with God, not me.
Yes.
You're not arguing with me, and you're not arguing against me. So I'm not mad at your sister. All I got is love for you, because I'm going to be praying for you. You're arguing against the Word. And when you argue against the Word, honey, the Most High God will handle that argument, okay?
Amen. Amen. And you know,
First John 4:16, it says, and we know, understand and recognize and are conscious by observation and by experience, and believe, adhere to, and put faith in and rely on the love God cherishes for us. Bottom line is God is love, and he who dwells and continues in love dwells and continues in God, and God dwells and continues in him. Now, that's the Word of God. If you ain't dwelling in love, you ain't in God. God is love, and that's what the Bible says. 1 John 4:16 says it. And if you're not doing love, you're not in God. Now, you can call out whoever you want to that's not doing love. The bottom line, they're not in God. But our bottom line tonight is to be in God and to do those things that the Word of God brought to our attention tonight, and to do and to really do love. Not what we've seen demonstrated by some of these churches, because some of them do love.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what shows you who the true believer is.
Yes.
You know, and it's not about us arguing back and forth between one another. That's not love. That's not love. And that's not God. And God ain't in that. Because God's word does not have to be argued over.
Amen.
We
got to
make up our mind whether
we're
going to do it or not. It's bottom line.
That's it. That's it. Amen. Well, you know, one thing I'll say tonight is that we've had a great discussion, but I would say to Glenda, Glenda the city is all the way from New Jersey, coming to Houston, did a revival, going back to New Jersey. See, God has a way of moving us all around in the body of Christ. Now, it may not look like nothing is happening, but something is happening. As I say to my grandson, it's showing them what the seed. You plant a seed, but you don't know what it's doing. It's under the earth. You put water. All of a sudden, you see a green leaf shooting out of that earth. You might dig it up and look. It's all here's a root, because that's what God wants us to be, rooted in his word. And the more we root ourselves in his word, the more God loves us. The more God loves us. And so, you know, I've said this many times. There are a lot of people want to come on the radio station. See, our radio station is a radio station for God, gospel to be taught. Not for us to come on in argue, fuss and fight. So, Glenda, lead us in prayer.
Father, we thank you. We praise you, Father. Father, we hope that people's eyes will be open to the truth, Father. And, Father, if I've done anything wrong, if I've sinned against you or sinned against your people, I ask you to forgive me. Father, in the thought until the seal of forgiveness, never to return again. Father, I ask that your people's eyes be open like Eve's eyes was open in the garden. When he said, who told you you was naked? Father, the devil come to steal, kill, and destroy, and he is the prince of this world. And I pray that my people will get in that word and learn the truth, so the truth will set them free and come out of darkness and come out of bondage. The Bible says that my people die for the lack of knowledge. The Lord said that I come that you may have life and life more abundantly. I pray and I ask Yahweh's people that they know that word for themselves. Stop relying on the people's anointing, their word, but seek the Lord with everything they got, because these are peril times. And I pray that Yah put more love in this world for people and for him. And I pray that we love him with our heart, our mind, and our
Amen.
Soul.
Amen.
And Yahshua's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Sonia, since you had the greater word, I know God has put it on your heart to finish us out in prayer. Go ahead and finish us out in the prayer before Almighty God.
Father, thank you.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord God, for your goodness and your mercy. And Lord, we just pray that you shed abroad that love in our hearts. Manifest it, Lord, through us. Manifest your love through us, oh God. That everyone we come in contact, oh God, will come in contact with the love of God. And Father, we just praise you. We surrender ourselves as living sacrifice for the love of God to be shed abroad through us and manifested. And we just thank you for that. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And amen. And you know what? The Lord is so good. He's blessed us tonight. He's brought us to another level. And I want to say to everybody out there that's listening to us tonight, sometimes you have to read the scripture, because the more we get with God, the more we stay in God. And I will say tonight, as we come to this end of this program, we keep our eyes upon Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. He's the one that's coming back. Let us not look upon this world, because the world has nothing for us. This wicked world hates us, but we love God, and we want to get God's people back to what it's supposed to be. See, God is a great God. He loves us. And so I say tonight to all of us, as I close out, I'm going to close out with some healing scriptures. And I know that what God has done is according to his will and not mine. The more we trust God, the more we believe God, the more God wants to use us. We have to let ourselves go and say, Father, here I am. Use me. So let's listen to what God has to say. God bless you.
Healing scriptures.
I'm reading from Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20, 21, and 22. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. In the margin of my King James translation, it reads, my words are medicine to all their flesh. So God's word is medicine to all our flesh. So therefore, I just want to read from the word of God and give you God's medicine. First of all, from Matthew, the 6th chapter, the 9th through the 10th.